I'd like to call order the Wilmington Plan Commission regular meeting, May 50, 2019. Would y'all rise?
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Chair Griffith?
Here.
Vice Chair Hanson?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Woods?
Here.
Commissioner Owens?
Here.
Agenda review, any changes by commissioners or staff?
Staff has no changes to the agenda this evening.
Commissioners, none? Public comments. Members of the public wishing to address the commission on any items not on the regular agenda may do so at this time when recognized by the chair. However, no formal action will be taken unless majority consensus of the commission directs staff to place the item on a future agenda. Public is advised to limit discussions to one presentation per individual. While not required, please state your name and address for the record. Seeing nobody? Approval of minutes. Any comments, discussion? Do I have a motion?
I move that we pass the minutes of the last meeting dated April 17, 2019.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that's passed. New business. Use permit file UP-19-03, applicant owner, property owner Gabriel Gentel, Mark and Diane Arroyo, West, 222 West Walnut Street, parcel 002-162-006, CC Central Commercial Zone, General Commercial Zone use designation, use permit to allow establishment of bar and cocktail lounge.
Just thank you, Chair and Commissioners. This evening is a use permit. A couple of you who have been on the commission maybe are familiar with this location, as this has been before you for a couple of other reviews in the past. The project, though, before you is a new use permit, as the applicant, Gabriel Gentel, is purchasing the current bar and cocktail lounge, which is named Bubba's Place, and is going to change the name to Wrong Way Home with this purchase. When I was first contacted by the applicant regarding this, this was in looking at the background of it, which I knew about this location. I looked into it and to find out that there was a need in late 2018 for a review. So this was subsequently a good timing to bring this all forward to you and start out with a new use permit, because there's a new business, change of name and such. They're basically going to keep the same type of hours. I think the Bubba's had hours of operation from 12 to 2, and this one is going to open up at 1 and open till 2 a.m., but 7 days a week. They had a couple of employees as well, so those things don't differ much at all from what is currently. And, just going through this process here has been very easy in the respect. Not only has the applicant provided a lot of information and some good plans and drawings to be able to bring this before you, these diagrams are attached for you. It also has been very timely. So just to, for the record, just for a little bit of the background, is originally this had started with a use permit back in 2001. There were some modifications in 2002. Reviews were done in 2004 and 2006. And then subsequently, I picked up on it, and as of 2012, this has been brought before the commission for a few reasons. One is the original use permit was established a time frame, and then there was reviews incorporated into that use permit time frame. So as where we stood at the last meeting, which one of the meetings in 2013, The commission put a time limit on the use permit to be a term of 5 years from approval, then they wanted to see a review in 1 year, and then after that, subsequently, every 2 years to see before the commission. So those meetings were held, the reviews were done, and now we're at a new owner, a name change, and before you then is a new use permit to start them on their way to get a use permit for operation. So I looked into some of the same things that the commission had were inquired about at the other meetings, which was, is the ABC license, is all of that current, and is that in good effect, good standing? And I did contact ABC, and yes, that is the case. They did let me know that the business, or the license, ABC license will expire in June 30th. However, since I prepared that staff report, I did get a copy from the ABC, which the new applicant has already started that process and is going to get that turned over to them. They will get a temporary license permit until June, and then they will subsequently be on an annual schedule again. So they've been diligent in making sure that ABC is covered and that they have met all of the requirements. So ABC had no comments about the business or license or anything, but just wanted to make note of it that that license did expire in June. Additionally, at some of the other meetings, there had been some individuals who were spoke up on the public side of it, stating that there were a lot of police action and calls and such. So during some of the meetings in 2012 and 13 and 16, I brought before the commission and were made you available the police calls that were addressed or that were sent to this location. So there again, I contacted this time the county sheriff's department to obtain the reports from the last 2 years. And in that, you'll see that there were three calls in 2018 and four in 2019. I did a little log to see, since I've been involved in this, what was the number of calls. In 2011, there were 31 police calls. 2012, there were 26. 2013, there were 10. 2014, there was 13. 2015, there was 11. There's a break I don't have for 16 and 17, but then in 18, there was 3 and 4 calls. So you can see that really whoever's running the business has been taking care of, I think, the business in a much better light. I did send this notice of the meeting to property owners within 400 feet, as has always been with these reviews, and I received no comments or no letters from anybody with that case. So I think with the reduction in police calls, it goes to show that they're handling their business well. So with that, as I informed the applicant, this is a use permit that will be before you, and you have the oversight as to how long, if you want to put a limit on the type of a term for this use permit. So in my draft conditions that I have, number 2, I have stated that this is the term and limited for 5 with the date of in 1 year and thereafter in 2 years. The commission has the opportunity and the oversight to be able to change that. These are my suggestions based upon the past use permit hearings and reviews that we've had. So with that, and I know what the lady who has been preparing and submitting all this on behalf of her fiance, Valentine Cole, is in the audience, and if you have any questions of her, I'm sure she can address them. She's been very good to work with. So, or if you have any questions of me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Well, I have a few things to say. I think it's interesting what Planner Mattelli has said about the police calls. They've gone down considerably. I've been to the establishment before. I know that the past owner has been very stern, very serious person, and done a good job. I do not live very far from the establishment. In fact, there's really only one structure between myself and the establishment, and I have to say it's very calm. And I do believe that it's very
important to have more than one establishment serving adult beverages in town. Of course, we have the Last Stand, and people go down to the Elks and what have you, but it's nice to have another one, have competition. And for all intents and purposes, I think they're good neighbors. I've been really impressed considering that it is a bar. I essentially live across the street from the mortuary, and there's that big space between the mortuary, and then there's one home on the corner, and then there is this establishment, and the sound would carry. And for all intents and purposes, it's a very...
It carried a few years ago, and we heard about it,
Yeah. And I also do like, because before it was named Bubba's and it was called The Long Way Home, people used to refer to it as The Wrong Way Home, so I really like the name.
I think it's
a very good thing, and I highly encourage the use permit and to encourage people to invest in Willows and have success in their businesses. I would say I would like to see the conditional use permit be for the longer term of 5 years.
Looking at the floor plan here, we have this one big area here. It shows pool room and the dance floor. Is that totally empty, or do you have tables and chairs there? Or there's also discussion about a shuffleboard and darts, and I'm just trying to get an idea of the layout of what you're proposing here.
Valentine, if I could, maybe I could have you come up and speak into the, because it might not be able to pick up from back in the back of the room.
Sorry, I'm new to all this.
Do you want to state your name for us?
Valentine Co.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, there is. Once you walk into that room, there are four pool tables right in the middle of the room, and there's a shuffleboard table across the wall, the back wall. And there are small, like, bar tables around the sides, and then there's an open space where the dance floor is. We're going to keep the layout as it is now. We're really not going to change much than what's there.
Okay. Well, that was one. And it's like Candy said, I don't know when the last time they've had live music there.
That's
at this particular bar, but I know in the past, and that's one of the hazards of living here for a while, is there were complaints before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a concern I have. But.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Everybody wants live music at a bar, so if we do have live music, we'll limit it to maybe once a month, and we'll make sure that everybody's aware that that's going to be the night that there's going to be music, you know, and we'll try to keep it to a minimum. Acceptable level.
I think that's what's important, and I think it's also important that because there are residences around this, and we had another establishment that was having live music, and that's what was a problem for the neighbors, because they had like really heavy bass, and it's like it was rattling the neighbors' windows. So, you know, we've not had any issues here, so I'd like music. Yeah. Just be aware.
Yeah, that's we just need to, you know.
And also, if your time frame, I would be really, if you say your music's going to be till midnight,
cut it off at midnight. Yeah. That's it. You have
those
to
are some of the
it.
Complaints that we've gotten from other establishments or from this one when it was prior to. So.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Anything else?
Karen, is the 5 years for the conditional use permit, is that standard or?
Use permits are open-ended.
Okay.
The commission has taken them on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the use that they've given approval, but they'd like to see how they're doing. In a year.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point was probably, let's say in this case, they started having music. And let's say you want to see them back in a year. And at that time, if I maybe got letters or heard from the public as a result of that, that would be information I would bring before you.
Okay.
Even there, when there would be a review, I would also send the letters out to the property owners to let them know that this is going to be reviewed, and if they have anything at that time to come before you. But the use permit itself, the code does not establish a time frame. Mm-hmm. It just says that if you don't perfect, the use within a year, it dies. So in this respect, time limit on allowing a use permit, it's up to the commission on what they feel is the best for this use.
Okay.
Personally, I agree with Jose. I think the five is a good one, but I do want the review in a year, mainly because Isabella's Place, the incidence of police calls is very low.
Yes.
Hopefully, when you take the step and it's over, it'll be the same, but we need a time frame that we can measure that by so that we can come back in a year's time and say, okay, yes, you're doing a good job. Let's go 2 years or whatever later on.
And that'll just be a review.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Just whatever you guys need to do.
All right. So we need any more comments? Open a public hearing. It is, so, yes. Do that with,
You can open the public hearing.
Let me open the public hearing first. Open the public hearing at 7:15.
Officially opened.
Now you can speak, Mr. Ross. Is that who you are?
That's who I was yesterday. I don't know who I am today. What I was going to ask is what is the current radius or the equivalent calculation for letters to property owners?
400 feet.
400, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Steve, we'll close the hearing. Any further comments? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Willows approving use permit UP-19-03 for Gabriel Gentile for the Wrong Way Home Bar and Cocktail Lounge for the property located at 222 West Walnut Street, Assessor's Parcel 002-162-006.
I second.
Do we have any further comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
Just for the record, I want to note that the use permit has a 10-day appeal period from the date of the Planning Commission approval.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the second on that. Who seconded?
Peggy.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm up again. 7B, design review file DR-04, applicant owner, property owner Hank Apaka. Same, 226 North Humboldt Avenue, parcel number 001-041-023, Highway Commercial Zoning District, Highway Commercial Land Use Designation, design review to allow a re-image branding project to the existing commercial building KFC. Staff.
Yes, thank you, Chairman and the Commissioners. This is a re-imaging project, as I stated within the staff report, that a number of these types of businesses, fast food restaurants, go through a rebranding change about every 10 years. And so it's not unheard of that this is going to be a change. And if you sometimes look around at these fast food restaurants, you'll see all of a sudden they have a different look to them. So Mr. Apodaca, who is the owner of the building, the KFC building at 222 North Humboldt Avenue, is going to undertake a rebranding of his fast food restaurant. And this rebranding, his proposal is to brand some new signage, add some new paint finishes, new light fixtures, and a number of other things, but additionally also an interior renovation is planned also for this, but does not have any oversight with the commission because it's on the interior. They'll just be getting the building permits that are necessary for that. And just a little background is that this project first came to the commission in 2007 when this was a tentative map and design review and conditional use permit, as Mr. Apodaca was subdividing some land in order to create a parcel for this KFC structure. And at that time, also, Mr. Apodaca gained pole height that was now in our code, it does allow up to 80 feet. At that time, the height limit was 40, so he came before the commission at that time, too, to ask for additional pole height, and then also for additional signage. All of his requests were approved. He was granted the pole sign and an additional identity and incidental signage. He did come back again for some additional signage for to the commission. That use permit was approved for the additional signage. So what's before you now is this rebranding project that is going to take place at the KFC. I put together a little PowerPoint too to help you with just kind of being able to recognize what's going to change here. And some of his requests are to add basically a color, the exotic red. I have given you to look at the awning material and the color of this. So that would be added above the doorways and the windows, the removal of the red and white stripe type of awnings. Additionally, facing this side, which is on the Humboldt Avenue side, that cupola cap is going to be removed as part of the project as well, which that'll make a change. When we go to the south side of the existing building, which will be on the parking lot side, where he came back for that additional signage was on those expression panels. Those are going to be, in essence, removed. They're going to be painted over, so there won't be any signage on there. And then as well, adding metal awnings to the red striped area and above window and doorway area. This face that is on there is to be removed and to be replaced with a KFC logo. The KFC logo on the middle of the building is going to be removed, and the wording "World Famous Chicken" is going to be added to that area. There again, on the north side of the building, which is the drive-through, there are expression panels. Those will not be used for any advertising. Also, is going to add a new logo, and the logo, which is going to be above the drive-through, "Real Meals to Go" is going to be the wording there. And then again, replacing the striped canopies with the metal, solid, exotic red awnings. These expression panels, as I said, all six of them are going to be removed. Any of the type of advertising, incidental type of advertising, is going to be removed as part of this project. On the east side of the building, there will be a paint color change. Top half will be the exotic red color, and the lower half will be the black horizon color. So these are existing looks of the building right now, so that you can get an idea of the changes that are going to take place. The pole sign is going to stay. No change to the pole sign, other than to probably to paint the actual pole and update that. So no additional signage. So everything is going to remain the same with that pole sign. And existing lighting fixtures, those are going to be removed and replaced with more of a downcast lighting, not the big arm style of fixtures for this, and which will soften the look on the building. These are the proposed fixtures. It's hard to see there, but there's more of a canned light, and as I expressed and stated within the conditions, is that all lighting has to be downcast in order to prevent any light that is going to project onto additional properties, and to keep it all on the building site. So this is what is going to be a change, the look. Where those stripes are at, I believe, is really where the expression panels are, so they're maybe in essence painting over them. And the bold color of red will be on the tower area that is on the corner of Humboldt and the parking lot. And then this is going to also be bordered on the bottom with that black horizon color, of a darker color. There again, this is, I believe, on the east side, which would be the drive-through side, the lower half one, which is where the ladder is positioned at this point, and then additional awnings on above doorways. So that's really the overview of the, yeah, of what is going to be proposed here. As I stated in there that, you know, there are some, the relationships, you know, between these are, they're, what's surrounding around them is still the same. There's a multifamily apartment complex that's to the south and commercial uses to the north and west, and then the vacant land is to the east. What I have included in your staff report also is to separate the existing square footage of the signage compared to what is being proposed. And as you can see, there is a lesser amount of signage that is going to be used for this building. And that falls in line with, I think, what we'd like to see, not coming and asking for more, but to reduce the signage for this building.
Once when we do this, if we issue this conditional use permit, will and that signage, that additional signage goes away, it will go away, that ability to do that. So in 6 months or something, if they came, they couldn't bump back up to the higher number, or would they need to come and ask for?
There always is the allowance within our code for additional signage to go for a use permit.
Right, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be just without request.
No.
Okay.
No.
This will change that whole allotment for the signage.
Yes. So as you see within the staff report here, their existing square footage is now 475.76 square feet, and the proposal is for 334.36 square feet. I expressed greatly to the preparer of these drawings that I didn't want to see any more signage. And he said, if there's any more signage, cross it off. I don't want it either. So I think that they were going with less is more instead of coming and asking for that. So I was glad to see that when I tallied up all the information that there was less than what is there right now. So I wanted to make that apparent to you.
Okay.
So that you understood.
I appreciate that.
I don't think they really need additional signage. That's a go-to place. I mean, you go to KC, and signage is so far off the main highway that people don't see the signage anyway, so I don't see where it's necessary.
I do feel that with fast food restaurants, and I made a notation about it below the chart there, is that, and this happens not just with fast food restaurants, but gas stations as well, fuel stations, that they are, I don't know if the word is told to or coerced into it or pushed into it, I'm not sure what term to use, but they always want more signage, and they want it all over the windows, and they want it everywhere. And when I talked with Mr. Apodaca about that time we went around with his expressions, he said it was the franchise telling me we needed more of these figures on there. We need to have this chicken piece that's laying there. I mean, almost like you didn't know that that's what they served there. However, it was corporate that is telling them we want to have this signage, and they send you the signage. I was at a Subway recently, and as I was sitting there eating, one of the workers went out and removed one of the signs that was on the window and put up three. So probably not getting approval for that, but that's what they, and I asked her, I said, is there a new, she goes, oh, we have new specials now. So they sent us the rolls of what we had to put up. So when I made the statement about it usually happens after they get their design review approval, all of a sudden I go there and I see 10 more signs. With the fuel stations, my comment has always been, how can law enforcement see into the window if they need to when they're all covered up?
It's not safe.
It's not a safe situation, but as I'm told, we're told we have to put these up to advertise the specials that we sell inside. So, you know, at one point there was discussion in two or three years ago with a couple of the commissioners about should we entertain an amendment to the sign code that speaks to this, because we have kind of a corridor there right along Humboldt where between fast food restaurants and fuel stations where this type of signage goes up. And I, it would be a lot of oversight on staff to be able to stay on top of when they change and what size they have. So I'm just making you aware of that. I wouldn't doubt that somewhere along the way, all of a sudden, there'll be a banner up or there'll be something up. I'll send them a letter saying that's not what you were approved for, so that at least it's in my file that I've made that attempt to let them know that.
Well, I think temporary, temporary is one thing too, but what happened with KFC before is that, you know, we were really put between a rock and a hard place in that we had approved it, and then it came back that all that stuff needed to be within those
expression
those frames. So, you know, we went ahead and approved it, but it was a lot more signage than anybody else. So once you open that
door,
gate, then where does it stop?
Where's the
so
cap?
I'm pleased, because then on top of that, then you have all the extra signage that you're talking about. So now at least we've kind of pulled back,
scaled it back,
a manageable.
I know what you mean about signage. I ran an Arco station, managed an Arco station down in Sacramento for a couple of years. You talk about signage. Those people don't know what it is.
Oh.
Every day you get something that you have to put up,
right,
or change, or.
Yeah,
it's. So I think this is very good. I think
with this rebranding, this change here, the exotic red color is going to stand out as that's the KFC building. There's no doubt about that.
You don't need a bunch of signage to say.
We don't need a bunch of signage.
Well, the 80-foot pole sign is kind of a giveaway too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was the first 80-foot pole in the city?
It was the 81st one that was approved for.
Yes.
First one approved.
Yes. Yes.
That's a little different.
I don't know if there's anyone that's actually. I did have somebody ask me that is talking about maybe another project and wanting to know if they could go higher. And I was like, I think 80 feet is probably pretty high already.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't say a yes or no, but.
People can't even see that far. You know what I'm saying?
Well, isn't the down 57th Street, did we approve 88 for the big sign down there?
80.
I thought 80 something.
80 feet is the maximum that I know of so far right now. I don't have my right book here, but I've got a chart that I've been keeping track of all the heights and square footages that I could of the sign.
Well, there for a while, it was just a leapfrog effect. Everybody came.
Everybody was
more
coming
and
in.
More and then more. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Time no, out. This is the line.
Time out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, being that the code has the allowance for additional signage, I don't think it's probably in the purview of the commission to maybe even add a condition here, because it was going through my mind about whether or not to put a cap on that. But the code allows for it at this point right now, and if we want to address that through a code text amendment down the line, we can do that. So, but at this point, I know that his idea is to clean it up, and like I say, have some different lighting there, a little more softer lighting look, not the large lighting look, and large lighting that they have right now. They're going to put in arm lights and light packs above doorways and stuff. So it'll be more of an LED probably style lighting too, which is what everybody's going to, more LED style lighting. And, you know, as no driveways or no landscape or anything is going to be affected. No new trees or no trees are going away or anything. It's just going to be the building inside and outside that's going to get the change. So, and they anticipate that the drive-through and the restaurant is going to stay in full force during this remodeling change. So with that, if you have any questions other than what I've explained, I'm more than happy to answer or address those.
If not, that's open. 7:34 is open to public hearing. Anybody wants to step up and speak on this issue? Don't everybody rush up here at once.
You want to speak on this one too?
Oh, no, just.
All right. 7:34. We'll close the hearing. Public hearing. Any other comments by commissioners?
I was going to say, to me, it's interesting. I understand the idea of rebranding, but it's interesting if you look, really, most of the detail and the color and everything, the awning and the lighting that's being changed are on the north and the south sides. And if you drive up Humboldt from the south, driving north, you really don't see the building until you're on it. You have the apartment building, and then you have that big tree. So you don't really see it until you're there. And the same thing if you're coming south on Humboldt, the McDonald's blocks the view of the north side. So you don't really see these colors. To me, it seems like a lot of money to be spending for. You're not really going to see very much of it. You don't see it until you're on it. And I even drove up Interstate 5 to see what it would look like off the highway. And again, you don't see it until you're right on it.
Quick. Yes.
Right. The only thing you see is what Commissioner Woods had mentioned before about that really tall sign. That's the only thing you really see until you're actually at the restaurant. I think what Chair Griffith said, people that are going to KFC are going to KFC because it's KFC.
Yes.
So a lot of this is just this cosmetic stuff. If it makes Mr. Apodaca happy, that's great, but I think he doesn't need to spend the money.
I think it's good, too, because it's going to get a fresh paint. It's going to be fresh, clean. Yeah. It's going to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
I think it keeps the building spruced up, instead of getting a run-down look. So
I think it's very good.
In the overall scheme of things, it's probably a good thing that we're refacing these buildings to keep them looking fresh.
All right. Do I have a motion? Anybody want to speak up?
I move that we adopt the next resolution in line for the Planning Commission of the City of Willows granting design review approval to Hank Apodaca for the exterior re-image branding project for the commercial building located at 226 North Humboldt Avenue, Assessor's Parcel Number 001-041-022.
I will second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It is passed. Now we go to commission commentary. Anybody?
Well, I just wanted to, I know we had the nice little notice in our packet about an upcoming visioning workshop for the update of the Willows General Plan, but I also wanted to bring to the attention that the Local Transportation Commission is also going to be updating their regional transportation plan, and they're going to have a kickoff meeting Monday, May 20th, up in Orland from 5:30 to 7. I mean, this plan is what looks over your road system and your fixed route system, Glen Ride, any kind of transportation, bike paths, those kind of things. So, and I think it's done every 5 years, if I remember right. I used to have to be in charge of that. So,
where's it at?
It's going to be at Carnegie Center, on May 20th, between 5:30 and 7.
Is that countywide?
Yes, it's countywide. It includes the two cities and the county, because you do have representatives from the, because they voted to combined all the transportation money and allocate it that way. Instead of Orland getting their part, Willow's getting their part, and the county getting their part. So you have the Local Transportation Commission. I don't know who the representatives are, but
probably somebody on the county.
Oh yeah, there's a regional transportation commission, and then there's a local transportation. So you have two bodies there.
I believe the mayor is, and maybe Councilmember Fletcher might be
and
on
it,
that.
Like I said, you have representatives from all three bodies there. And it's well worth having some input into, because, I mean, that's why we have Glen Ride, is because of the regional transportation plan. So that's my only comment.
Thanks, Peg.
Can I ask, what method did you guys use to get this information out to the public about the...
It's on the website.
Uh-huh.
We placed it on the website. I believe we are also going to be, if not already, putting a link on our website about this, because we're working in conjunction with the county on this. I wanted to, make the commissioners aware of it. So, but as to beyond
the public,
that, I'll find out, but I know that
business owners,
city clerk was
maybe
talking about it today, that she put this on the website, she made a couple of corrections on it, but put this on the website. So we could have a consent, people coming and talking about this.
That'd be great.
Our general plan, I'm probably use the word ecstatic to learn, to know that we are finally going to be updating our general plan.
When do they do
and
it before?
And it's going to be a document that's going to serve us well. So it would be great to have public input.
Glen County.
And because this is going to cover all of the elements within our general plan, the transportation, housing element, you see that every 5 years, that comes before you every 5 years, we do that. This general plan that we're working with is not going to be updating the housing element. I'll be doing that separately through a, and the city has in the past been, has applied for a CBG planning technical assistance grant in order to have the housing element update done. So that will be a portion taken out, but all the other elements that we have will be part of this update. And de novo is the consultant that's working with the county, and so they are going to be the presenters of the meeting that night. So this will be a good opportunity to get to meet this gentleman. This will be the first workshop. More than likely, there will be several more throughout the period in order to put this general plan in place. An environmental impact report, project-specific environmental impact report will be prepared as well in conjunction with the county. So we are in a good position right now to be able to make this happen for the city, because the costs alone, if we were to do it on our own, would be anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000. Wow. It's an expensive document, and that's why cities just don't jump in to do it that are small in the respect. So we're able to augment this with our with the county and leapfrog from that. So that's why we're working with de novo on this.
Mm-hmm. Can we run one of the flyers over to Lisa over at Chamber of Commerce, and maybe because the Chamber of Commerce has that board right in front of the postal post office, so maybe we
any
can
way board, to get yeah. out the information about this on the is it the 20th? Yeah,
it's on May 30th.
Yeah, it's not pretty quick.
I don't have it in front of me.
Is it day?
Yeah.
20. What's the date?
It says May 30th on
May
the flyer.
May 30th. Okay, I'm sorry. I knew it was towards the end of the month, and I think it's 6 o'clock, and it's going to be here, held here at City Hall. So yes, yeah, spread the word. And we'll get, we'd like to get some participation. But as I say, this won't be the first, this won't be the only one. There'll be others too. Mm-hmm. This is the kickoff one.
Anybody else have anything else?
Is Orland participating in this too to update their general plan or not necessarily?
Not that I know of.
Oh, no. Okay.
Not that I know. Just, it's the county. Well, the county, that this had started a few years ago and then it just kind of died. Don't know why, probably lack of money, I'm not sure, or resources or whatever, but it has now surfaced again, and I'm very happy to be able to be working with Andy Popper, who is the representative from the county that I've been working on this with. So I'm excited that we're going to be able to have an updated general plan and an EIR with our general plan, because we don't have one now. And what this will help us with is not only just updating our elements of the general plan, but it will also help when projects come before us. And I'm not able to use an EIR document that has already analyzed the whole scope of the city and the needs and the transportation stuff. I have to take them through an initial study and get that document prepared, and which is a cost to the developer, and then a time frame as well, that slows their project down to getting in front of you. So being able to have an EIR to relate to and to make that environmental determination for you already will speed up those projects that would come in. So it's gonna be a good project. It's a little lengthy, but I'm looking forward to it.
Any word on the Denny's and the Golden Pheasant?
No, other than that I think they do want to remove it, but I haven't heard how and when and any kind of information about that. So it's sitting there as an eyesore, though, for sure.
Yes.
I'll say. Yeah.
Where are we at with Basin?
Well, probably everybody's been seeing the work that's been going on with the infrastructure that's starting to be installed along Tehama Street. So that is moving forward. I would anticipate that within the next few months, you'll be seeing a design review proposal come before you for the Rubiano building that will go there. Talked with the city manager today about kind of when that process might unfold, and the same individual, the same company that built the Adventist Health new building is going to be the one that's going to, has been chosen to construct that one. So, and they were really wonderful to work with.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I just gave them the information because when the tentative map was approved for the commercial side, just as it was with the residential side, there were PD standards and uses and such that had to be adopted. And so this project, the Rumiano project, will be the first one to implement those and use those as their guiding posts. So that was information that I was passing on to Wayne to pass on to the developer so that he knew what was going to be required of him. Nothing that's out of the ordinary, but if you're first time around trying to go through this process, better to know more at this point. So, but that will be coming before you. Residential side, I anticipate some sort of probably some modification that they might come before the commission sometime this year yet still. I'm not sure what time frame though, but Basin Street is going to be the next area that's going to build up and it's going to start. So once you start seeing walls and going up there, it's going to be, I think they're going to have people knocking on the door to come in as well.
One more question. Where are we at on our residential design guidelines?
Those guidelines are actually going before the City Council for their review and approval. They did look at the multifamily one and they did approve those. So now that they look at the residential ones, so you'll probably, I would anticipate that next meeting in June, I will be bringing you a text amendment to the architectural design review section of the code. What I'm going to be doing is removing it from the chapter 2 section and putting it into the zoning section because that's where it belongs. And then also within those guidelines, I'll be referencing, I'm sorry, within that code section, I'll be referencing any design guidelines that are also to be implemented as part of future development along with the design procedures within that code.
And when do we think that's going to City Council?
Then it'll go to City Council right after that. So I would say that I would be bringing that to you probably, I think, on the 19th of June will be the meeting where I'll bring the text amendments for the architectural design review, and then it'll be their first meeting in July that I can take for the first reading.
Okay, cool.
So it's on my radar to get that moving, and that's it's coming to you first. Oh, it's coming to City Council first to let them review the R1 guidelines, and then I can take the text amendment to you.
Did McDonald's give up, or are they still?
McDonald's, I think, has
pulled back.
Just taking a pause for a second. They're doing a little more due diligence about that property. However, I do know that also they have some rewrites they had to do in the traffic study. They had to analyze another section or another intersection. So they have to kind of go back and re-scramble and then put that back into the analysis that it already had. So that's not a quick turnaround time. I'll probably send them an email this next week and find out, you know, what do they say is their time frame. I have, being that I haven't heard from them as of yet, it probably may not go on the June agenda. However, if all of a sudden they call me tomorrow and say, here's the updated traffic study, I'll get that to my engineer for his review, and it could possibly land on the June meeting. But I haven't heard them say, we're pulling out. I've just have heard a couple of, we're doing a little more due diligence comments.
You know, talking about that same general area, in the Walmart parking lot, they had dug up that area where they were supposed to put in those
charging stations,
and I was there recently, and I couldn't locate them. Did something happen with those?
Yes. That project, the EDC Charger project, started. They dug the areas where they were going to do all the undergrounding, and then we had the rains.
Oh.
Flooded that area totally out. So, in fact, I just this week got a new set of plans. They are going to move the EVC charging over stations, the four stations, over to the west side, which is where the OGP, the online grocery pickup, is going to take place. So the first maybe the first 11 or 12 parking spaces will take up some for the chargers and then some for their equipment, and then probably about two or three parking spaces difference than the OGP online grocery is going to take place. So that's moved that ball over to that side of the parking lot.
Interesting. And I had a question about two other commercial properties on Sycamore. The building, the mysterious building that was like the old 99-cent store on Butte and Sycamore, I was curious what's going on with that.
And, I'm curious too.
Oh, okay. And the other one, I've noticed a lot of action at the old movie theater. Do you know what's going on over there?
Don't know what's going on. Okay. I know that the plans for the, I think it's 221 West Sycamore, which is the old 99-cent store, I know that they plan on revamping it to where it's not the same look at all. That was kind of, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what the gentleman who came before asking for some downtown facade improvement funds, which were we did put towards that project. The council awarded them some funds towards that project. I did drive by there today and saw that all the walls were down. So I know that the awning had been removed, so they're replacing that. The rendition that I saw of what they anticipate to put there is going to be a nice look, or a changed look. So it's going to have some sconces thing outside and more of a chocolate brown kind of color is what the look was at. But what's going to go in there is anybody's guess. I think that's what they want to do is keep you guessing until they actually have something open.
They're doing a good job because it's real fun going by there. And it does look really good. Well, anything would have been an improvement over the open windows with the old sunglasses on the plastic.
Hundreds of plastic flowers in the window,
No, it looks good. It's exciting. Exciting to see moving around there. And I mean, I love that old building of the old movie theater. If someone's going to make that work for something, that would be amazing.
I hope so too. Yes, there. I don't know what's going on there. I know that it was popped out.
Just working on this. It's only supposed to be working on the small office area there. He came in and got a permit for that. So that's his main goal right there, because there's a lot of other issues with that building. But he has not said what exactly it's going to eventually become.
Any movement down there and stirring up the dust is probably is good, better than what was no movement at all. So, other than that, I said my meeting will be on the 19th of June for the next one, and I know for sure I'll have the text amendments on there. Don't know of any other project unless it's the McDonald's one that would come along with that as well. But keeping it moist. I don't have any other. Just been getting some inquiries. So there's inquiries, with development. Had a couple interest inquiries also about the property behind the KFC, that big piece of property there. And been talking also to the property owners and some individuals that they've brought in about the south of Baymount there, that property, that 13 acres there. So there's some interest for those highway visible type of properties for development.
Question on that Apodaca's back piece of property there, is there any possibility of exiting out over onto Enright?
No. Enright?
Yes. This.
No, the only, I think the only, because Enright, no, the only ingress egress would be, there's an EVA that's through the KFC parking lot.
Right, I know that.
Then there's that 40
foot. But I'm just wondering in the future if there's any possibility of developing an exit out that way.
Enright.
The one that's.
I think Villa's directly behind it, isn't it?
Is it Villa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then that's what I meant, Villa.
Yeah.
Isn't there property in between? There's property in between.
Yeah, there is.
Villa,
yeah.
There's property in between, though.
Right.
But it would have to.
I'm just wondering if there's. It just as a thought.
It would have to be someone who owns that property to be able to allow.
Easements
and such through there. I mean, that's a comment or a question that can be brought up at the general plan workshop, because transportation circulation element is going to be one of the ones that's going to be touched.
Somebody brought that to me. I didn't think that up. But I thought, that would really.
It's property owners.
It's so congested onto Humboldt.
The only way would be the entrance that's going to have to be created off of Humboldt, and then a right-hand turn allowed out of and onto Wood Street by Chevron and the old car wash building. Mm-hmm. But the main entrance would be off of Humboldt at a 40-foot right-of-way in between the McDonald's property line and onto Black Bear.
Which is really not much.
Yeah, that was part of the approvals for
we had to fight
that subdivision.
For that too. They wanted a 20-foot one in there, I think, when they brought it to
40-foot would be enough ingress egress for that. I think it would. I always thought it would be a good idea to have that other piece of property in between the Sycamore Apartments and the 2B built 24-unit apartments. But that's a separate piece of property there that, unless someone buys it to incorporate all of that there, it's probably going to sit there for a while. And speaking of the 24-unit, I have been in touch with them. They have told me they're gaining the rest of some tax credit monies, which is understandable for this home. When they get the home application, they get those funds approved. The city will be receiving, probably within the next month or two, the standard agreement to sign for that grant. And then he anticipates, if not by late this year, in the spring of 2020, starting to construct that 24-unit apartment complex. So as long as we keep some development coming here and somebody building something, it puts our city on the map and makes for talk.
Well, 7:56, we are adjourned.
Do you have anything to say?
Yeah.